stand against the Lord. No one can, no one will.
It's Bill Leff and Dane Neal, and that beautiful voice you're hearing right now is mine. No, it's not. What am I saying? That belongs to Todd Delaney.
Sing.
I can't sing like that. There's no way I could sing that good. Todd Delaney is in the studio with us, Grammy-nominated gospel singer, who had a number one. Now, this to me is unbelievable. I hope you're as impressed by this as I am. It's your first album, and it goes to number one on the Billboard charts immediately.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty stunned, and I'm stunned by everything, all of it. You know what I mean? Being here with you guys, the whole thing, the whole shebang is like Grammys, all of that. I mean, it's all new to me and everybody in my house.
I'm so proud of you.
That just doesn't happen.
Yeah. That just doesn't happen. Also in studio with us is Sarah Jansen. Sarah's the executive director for the Chicago chapter of the Grammys, and the Grammy Awards are not this weekend, but the weekend after, correct, Sarah?
Correct. February 12th.
Yeah. Why does Chicago have a chapter?
Well, there's actually 12 chapters around the country. I'm an executive director based here in Chicago, but I cover the entire Midwest, which means that I assist musicians and music professionals and music communities all across the Midwest, folks like Todd, in every genre of music, every tiny little corner of the Midwest.
Yeah.
And there's 11 other folks that do the same thing I do in their own networks around the country.
Well, Sarah, and it's the kind of thing, too, if you're in the music business, if you love music events, music awards, you keep track of all that stuff, the Grammys are, I mean, it is the top, right? It's the top of the mountain. It's the pinnacle, and having you, you've worked with, you know, all sorts of great events like Lollapalooza, Coachella, Stagecoach, Rothbury. So you've worked with all of these events that have highlighted great artists. Like, how cool is it, right, to be a part of what is kind of the top award in music?
Well, I have to say, it's not only the top award, but why I'm so proud to work for the Academy and the Grammy Awards is it's the only peer-recognized award in the music industry, which means it's not based on Billboard charts. While I'm very impressed by your charts, Todd, it's amazing. It's not based on Billboard charts. It's not based on album sales. It's not based on fans. It's based on your peers, fellow musicians and music professionals who vote on the music that comes out in that Grammy season. And those are the winners.
I've heard so many people in the music business say the American Music Awards are great and the Billboard Awards are great and the MTV Awards are great, but the Grammy is the pinnacle. If you have a Grammy or two, that's it. You've made it. Yeah. You're a star. So that means a lot.
It's your peers telling you you're the best. Yeah. I mean, who better to judge on what is the best music that comes out than the other people who are creating music in that same time?
Right. You know, and Bill, I know that you're thinking, and typically we'll do food segments. I'll bring in, you know, stars of the food world or great food stories. But Todd's music is literally food for the soul, right? Mm. I mean, so there you have that. Mm-hmm. And what a humble guy, too. So it's one of those things, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. You know, we have to drag the accolades out of him. Oh, what my album? Do you have an album? Yeah, and it's number one. Okay, that's great. Here's the thing, though, too, is, you know, people strive for success in different careers, whatever talents that, you know, God blesses you with. And the interesting story in one of them was is that you started out as an athlete playing, and you were actually in the New York Mets organization. Yeah. We decided to give up that crazy dream for entirely different crazy dream, to be a great singer. Like, was that, because you could do both. When I was excited, I'm thinking, like, well, he could kind of be the singing baseball player, but no, you decided to focus.
Yeah, that was the hardest decision I ever had to make in my life. I mean, I had my family. They all told me flat out, you're crazy.
See, that's exactly. If I was your, you said Bill was like your dad. Yeah. If I was like your brother or your, you know, cousin, I would have said you're crazy.
See, and I had to tell you, just watch. And then I'm looking like a fool for years and years because nothing happened. No musical success, no success. And I'm like, maybe they were right.
How far up did you get with the Mets? What level were you playing?
I was playing long season A ball, and then I did a couple of big league spring trainings.
You did?
And so, I had a great second year, you know, where I hit around 319. You know,
that's pretty good.
Really good hands defensively. I was a good defensive player and fast, you know, I could run.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just felt like I was like, man, this isn't my purpose. I'm having fun here, but I got another purpose.
Right.
And then one time, it was a crazy thing. One time, one Sunday, me and a couple of players, we went to church. And they said, man, Todd, you should sing. You should tell the pastor that you sing. And we're just acting crazy.
Yeah.
So I just got up there and I sang. We got in the car. They're all like, you're doing the wrong thing.
Really?
You need to be singing. Yeah.
That's impressive. That's so impressive. So as you're playing baseball, were you realizing, even though this is fun, this isn't my life?
My purpose.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing just to have passion, and that's what I did when I played baseball, passionate about playing baseball, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to be a professional baseball player?
Sure.
Women flock to, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
The money, they make all the money, everything. But I'm like, you
I
know.
I to like have great statistics and on-base percentage.
Right.
But of course, the ladies. Yeah.
That's the thing, right?
But look at the difference between those two lifestyles, between the lifestyle of a pro athlete, a baseball player, and the lifestyle of a gospel singer. Slightly different.
Slightly different. I mean, but now I'm realizing even more that I'm serving in a great time right now. Like, man, the world is kind of chaotic. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be bringing a message of hope and love, it's fun for me right now. I'm having a good time doing it.
Even when you were playing baseball at a high level and had, you know, Major League Baseball prospects as far as your future, and you knew you could sing, like, at what age did you know you could sing? And then at what age did you focus? Because there's a lot of singers out there, and there's a lot on the Grammys. At what age did you focus on gospel?
So my whole house, they sang gospel music my whole life. You know, my brother, my father, they could all sing. And so I guess listening to it, I listened to it without even knowing that I was picking it up.
Right.
I was becoming knowledgeable of it. And then my brother would always say, when his friends, my little brother can sing. And I would always be like, no, I'm not into that. The girls don't like it. But then as I got older, I was like, they like this. So I started, to sing.
Following the girl.
I mean, I'm married now, but that was my thing. When I was young, I'm like, hey, you know, this is all right. This is kind of cool. When you're young, they want the guy that's tough, that can play ball, and that's what I want to do.
Sure.
So I knew in the back of my mind, I said, maybe I sing a little bit, but I didn't know if I could do it on a major stage like now.
The only other New York Met that comes to mind, Mookie Wilson's hip hop dance party.
He was my coach my first year.
Was he Mookie Wilson?
He was my head coach. Yeah.
Love Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Wilson loved to sing, man.
did you, as you know, and we're going to get to some of the things, especially the hit album, the Grammys, and all that kind of stuff. But as you were singing, you know, with other players or with other people that just have maybe more notoriety than you did at the time, did Mookie Wilson try to say, like, let's start a group? Like,
No. But you know what? Mookie's a guy. He's a guy of few words. But we found that out about him, that Mookie sings and he likes to sing gospel music. Yeah. So like he was pushing me. He was like, man, you should do some singing. But I don't think he knew how serious I would take it.
So he never said, here's a band idea. Mookie and the Cookies. Are you in?
No, you'd have gone, I don't know if I want to be in. Mookie's got it, man.
What can we expect this year from the Grammys? Is there something that is like the overwhelming force in music that the Grammys will be realizing or recognizing in a couple of weeks at the awards?
Well, I think the thing the Grammys do differently than a lot of the other award show is that we try and put people together as opposed to letting folks do the music that you hear on the radio every day. We do some really incredible collaborations on the show, so you can definitely expect some really interesting and unique collaborations.
That's always fun to see because more times than not, you guys will pair up a classic from days gone by with a young upcoming performer. And it really does. It shows the lineage right there on the stage together. I love seeing that.
Totally. And I love to see that, too. So I'm 13 years in. I'm still excited about all the performances on the award show.
Good. Have they done the Tony Bennett Eminem collaboration yet?
Not yet. Maybe this year. Maybe next year.
Please.
Maybe. I don't know. There's still a week for some new performers to come out. Who knows?
Good. That'll be fun. All right. Let's take a quick break. And then more ahead, Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy. And our guests are Sarah Jensen and Todd Delaney. Stick around, Bill and Wendy and Dane, WGN.
Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now. You have won it all for me.
It's Bill Leff and Dane Neal sitting in for Wendy Snyder. A couple guests in the studio. That voice you hear, Todd Delaney, is the voice of an angel, I tell you. Nominated for a Grammy Award. He'll find out in a little over a week, almost 2 weeks away from the Grammy Awards. And then Sarah Jansen also joins us, the executive director for the Chicago chapter of the Grammys.
Yeah, the voice of an angel, also the voice of one of the potentially best bunters ever in the Mets system.
Yes.
So, Todd, here's the thing, is you are in a career that you... As far as the baseball side, you would have loved to be in, you wanted to be in from a kid and met some of your idols. We mentioned them off the air. We're talking like Daryl Strawberry, Brett Butler. These were your coaches, right? These were guys that maybe you grew up knowing about how great they were, and there they were, your contemporaries, you know, at that point. Sarah had mentioned a little bit about collaborations, how the Grammy kind of puts people together from different kind of walks of life or career. And so now, as you are excited to go to your first Grammys, and there's never going to be another first. Like, you could have, like, you know, maybe greater honors, or maybe, who knows, but so exciting. Is there some of those people that you have either known, loved, idolized, respected, that you're super excited to see in a couple weeks?
I love Rascal Flatts.
Mm-hmm.
I just, from every side of music, I really listen to it all. Joe from the R&B side.
Yeah.
Of course, Beyonce, everybody wants to see her in person, just so you can just see. If the beauty
if it's as magical as you hope. Are you up against any, are there anybody who's a friend that you're up against? Do you know the other nominees?
Yes. So Kirk Franklin, also Tamela Mann.
You know these people. I know these people. Is that odd that one of you could potentially win and then the other's not? That must be a little strange. Well,
it's an honor to be nominated, Bill.
Sure.
Well,
it is.
Kirk Franklin's a legend.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, for me, growing up watching and listening to his music my whole life.
Yeah.
To be in the same category with him anyway. I mean, I'm just like, I mean, honestly, you think like, how could I even win?
Right.
This guy's a legend. So it's just an honor to be named in the same breath, you know, with him.
Well, obviously you're getting to that point where you are being recognized for what you do at the highest level. But I love the whole indecision part of it. So you decided to leave baseball and you decided to pursue a career in gospel music. And we know it all worked out all right. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the parents and anybody who may have doubted you, or at least doubted the idea, is excited for the success. But a number one album with a worshiper's heart. Like, how did that happen? Did it just go right away? Or like, how did you get to that point where you're making good music people could listen to?
You know, I believe that when I was recording the record, that I was like, okay, this is good. How good, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if it'll actually be a number one album in the world and people all over the world are listening to it. I mean, I think I have a bigger following outside of the U.S. than even in the U.S. So, I mean, so for the whole entire world to jump, I didn't know that. I was just like, man, this is good stuff. I hope they feel the same way.
So where in the world is it surprising you? I mean, I get it. In the United States, it would make sense. But around the globe, where are they really loving you that you go, wow, what am I doing?
Uganda.
In Uganda.
Africa. And then even just the UK.
Yeah.
Uganda probably is the biggest. I get emails and Facebooks from them all day, every day. And so it's just crazy. And then I did an interview in the UK yesterday, and they said, do you know that everybody listens to your music here in the UK? And I said, no, I didn't.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So,
have you done a tour there yet?
Never.
You've never been there?
Never even been.
But you're headed to Uganda, right?
Headed to Uganda in February 15th.
You are?
Yeah, so that's a couple of weeks away. So I'll finally get a chance. Now, they heard that.
Yeah.
That I was coming there, and they've been nonstop. We're waiting. We're waiting on you.
You mentioned the family setting, music being a big part of the home life. Of course, in the church setting, it obviously is. People have listened, whether it's around the world or whatever. They're listening to recordings, right? They're listening to you on the radio, but not you live and in person. So talk a little bit about, and that's, you know, from a performer side, they say that's the greatest thrill. They get the most because there's that give and take from the crowd. As an athlete, you hear those same things. So talk about performing live and what that's like.
Yeah, for me, it's the place where I guess I'm the happiest is live on stage in front of people. I tell my wife that all the time. She's like, what about me? I was like, yeah, that's great too.
Come on stage.
Yeah. But on stage in front of people, and really, like you said, back and forth. It's a back and forth exchange. You can feel when they are like, okay, let's move to a different spot in the concert. You know what I mean? You can feel that. They'll let you know if you're feeding off of them. You can feel that they're like, oh, I love this song. Oh my God, I want to sing this song. And you let them take it. Or if they're like, I love this song, but it's not my favorite. Okay, we'll just sing it, and then we'll move to the next one. And then they're like, oh, that's my favorite. You can feel all of that.
Sure.
And it just feels like it's just all night long. And then it's a crazy part of the concert where sometimes you'll just hit a river, a flow. Like I call it a river.
Yeah.
A flow where it's just like, I'm in the zone.
You can do no wrong.
Yeah, I'm in the zone.
Right.
No matter what song we sing tonight.
It's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to work.
Isn't that a great feeling?
It is a mighty feeling.
Yeah. Sarah, talk about what we were just saying about those matchups where sometimes you'll get nominations where it's a tried and true favorite who's been around for decades going up against a rookie, somebody who's new to the scene. That's got to tear at a voter's mind. It's like, who do I go with? The young punk who's just out of nowhere and doing so well, or somebody who I've enjoyed forever?
Well, thank goodness you and I aren't the voters, right?
It'd be trouble.
And that's what makes the Grammy Awards process so different, is the people that are voting on these categories aren't fans. They're actually people who are creating music themselves. And they have such a true, deep understanding of what type of talent that it takes to create that music, that it's not about name recognition. It's truly about the music. And it's about that product, that creation that came out from each one of these individuals and which one is the best that year.
You're there the night of the broadcast, right?
Correct.
What's it like backstage with all these giants of the business, all these legends just mingling? Is it exciting to see?
Of course it's exciting to see, but I think the most exciting things that I see are when folks like Todd and Kurt meet.
Yeah.
For the first time. Yeah. I saw it last year with Kurt and Jonathan McReynolds, who's another gospel artist here from Chicago. And Kurt actually brought all the other nominees up on stage with him after he won and said, these are the guys
That's
you need
beautiful.
To know. Yeah. And it's really, it's like a community. It's folks coming together. I mean, the music industry is different because you aren't all together. It's not like a baseball team where you're all together all the time. Musicians are never together.
Yeah.
They're always off on their own touring. So these are the few times they get to come together and really like hang out and meet each other and geek out.
Yeah, and I know that you're the executive director of the Chicago chapter. You mentioned there's 11 total chapters for the Grammys. So explain kind of how it works, you know, where you would be a part of that local chapter and how it's part of this kind of bigger framework that is all one thing as far as the Grammys. Like, how could people get involved if they wanted to?
Sure, of course. Well, we're obviously the name of the organization, the umbrella organization, is the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, or NARIS. Mm-hmm. I shorten it to the Recording Academy because that's like a mouthful. We're most well known for our public face, which is the Grammy Awards, that award that we give out once a year. To be able to have the Grammy process exist, we are a membership-based organization, and our members are these musicians and music professionals who vote.
Yeah.
You need to be credited. You need to go through a somewhat extensive process to be credited, to be able to vote on the awards process. And that's actually how the Grammy Award totals and votes come out, is from those individuals across the country. Myself here and my counterparts around the country, our job is really to educate and to spread knowledge to the music communities and reach out to all of these next generation folks to make sure they're aware of getting involved in the awards process, submitting their music that they're creating, and then also voting on it.
And you could have the majority of the votes, but then the Electoral College could change the outcome. Is that correct?
Yeah, the popular vote you get, and then I'm not sure. Right. Well, see, Todd, here it is. And we went in kind of the nuts and bolts of how it all works. But what it is, I think this is, it's kind of just a recognition. It's a validation of the kind of things that you've been done. And you realize that once you got that nomination, regardless of what happens, and we know the future is bright, but forever you will be introduced as
Grammy nominee,
right? Your whole identity, forever. Your name has changed. It's one of those rare honors that really does change the way you're introduced forever.
Yeah. No, it puts the stamp on music and what I do in the music world for the rest of my life.
Beautiful.
And I realize that, like, my wife and I, we're like, do you realize that you're a Grammy-nominated artist?
So I know
you don't say, I'm not taking out the garbage. I just got nominated for a Grammy.
I've tried it. That doesn't work. Okay?
I'm not doing that.
You leave the nomination paper like on the table. Hey, did you have what I'm saying? So we know that everybody in Uganda and everybody in England knows this already. But for those people here in America that want to keep up with you, catch up with you, get caught up with you, and follow all your adventures, where can they go? Social media-wise and all that?
Absolutely. The best place is ToddDelaneyLand.com. All right? If they go there, they'll take you all over the place. Instagram, Facebook.
Good.
It's all at one spot for me. So ToddDelaneyLand.com.
Good luck. The best of luck.
Man.
I would love to see you walk away with a statue. Sarah, the Grammy Awards will be seen on which night again?
Sunday, February 12th.
A week from
Sunday.
Music's biggest night. We'll all be watching. Good luck to you, Todd Delaney, and of course on your tour of Uganda with Mookie Wilson at the Idi Amin Theater. Go see them perform
live. The cookies will be opening up.
Mookie and the cookies will be opening. It's going to be a great show. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Dana for Wendy on WGN.